spill your coffee.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, April 17th, 2025. I would like to call the Ponce-Inlet Town Council to order. I would ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that all council members are present and in chambers. Item 4, do we have any additions, corrections, or deletions to the agenda?
Yes, Mayor, I have one, and that is to move the audit presentation from 6C down to 8A. And the reason for doing that is because the council needs to make a formal decision on whether to accept the audit, and that's not something that we would usually have you do under the presentation section of the agenda.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any additions, corrections, or deletions? Seeing none other, I move to adopt the agenda as modified on the record. 6C becomes 8A, and 8A becomes, the old 8A becomes 8B.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as modified. And now we are up to citizen participation. This is your opportunity, each and every one of you, to please come up to the podium if you'd like, speak with us on any matter that is not on the agenda, and you will have the full attention of each council member, our town manager, and our department heads. And I want to express on behalf of the government, all of us, our appreciation for you taking the time to be here and to tell us what is on your mind. We know it does take away from your day, and I want you to know that we want to hear what you have to say. Because we have our council and staff here, depending upon what is said, if we can answer your question now, we will. But in the interest of accuracy, we may defer to a later time or add a topic to a future agenda. If you're asking the council to consider something, consider a policy change or an ordinance change, I can assure you that we will be writing down what you are suggesting and the manager will look into it, and we may reach out to you after the meeting, or your idea may come back as a future agenda item. As a reminder, each of us individually, council members and staff, are always available to hear from you and meet with you, and this is not your sole opportunity to share your concerns and comments. So, I'd like to call up Barbara Ann Hegan and Kristen Johansson, please, from the Port Orange, South Daytona Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, ladies. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mayor. Council members, city, or actually it's the town manager. We want to update you on a few items. One is we are so grateful for your participation at our mayor's dinner and how we were able to honor your law enforcement and your fire. We are in the process of now planning our 2025 leadership program, where you have been so kind to present to us in the past to our students. We also have a youth leadership program that Kristen Johansson, our workforce chair, is going to talk about. So we're excited to welcome you and the town manager, as well as your police and fire chiefs, to participate in both of those programs again this year. So with that, I turn it over to Kristen Johansson.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you guys for having us here. As Barbara Ann indicated, I am the Workforce Development Chair at the Port Orange South Daytona Chamber of Commerce. So we have a couple things coming up that are just worth noting. She'd mentioned to our Youth Civic Leadership Experience. This is a program that we've been running for high school students the first week of summer for the past, I think we're on iteration number 9 of this. So this program's been going for a while. We have 23 students that were accepted today for this year's program. items, so we're super excited about it. And I do know, so if anybody in the future, just be aware that that program comes every year, and we take anybody, any high school students from Port Orange, South Daytona high schools, or that lives in one of our regions. So, and also on the same vein, we have started a job fair, specifically addressing our needs of our teens and our graduating high school students. And we're doing this in conjunction with the city of Port Orange at their rec facility on May 17th. This is our second year doing it, and we are encouraging businesses who have career opportunities for graduating high schoolers or business or job opportunities for that kind of 16 to 18 year old range to come out and participate in our job fair. It is, like I said, May 17th from 9 to noon. It's on a Saturday to try to make it a little easier from some of those restaurants and ice cream shops that tend to hire our teenagers. So we encourage you to do that. If you have any questions, Barbara, Anna, or myself can certainly answer them.
Well, thank you, both of you. Does anyone have any questions? We're so appreciative of the work of the Chamber. Thank you, and thank you for being here today. Mr. Field.
Steve Field, 6 Mars. I'll apologize in advance because I know some of you in the Chamber have heard this before, but I think it's worth repeating so everyone hears it.
I don't hear him. Is the mic on? Maybe.
A little louder.
Okay. I apologize in advance for repeating what I know some of you in the Chamber have heard a month or two ago, but I think it's very important for everyone to understand and take some action about it. And it's 2.5%, 3%, 17%, and 0. Now, I know some of you know what that means. How about the rest of you? 2.5% is what the increase was in Social Security for this year. 3% is the current year-over-year inflation rate. 17% is what the budget increase for this year for Ponce was over last year. And the last thing is 0, which I understand is anticipated increase to the tax base for next year. I want you guys to think about that. Talk to your budget leaders and heads when they're looking and preparing the budget for next year, because I think it's very important that we be cognizant of the fact that there's no free lunch here. Some of the things I think you could do is look at discretionary spending for the next 6 months to ensure that everything is necessary, and maybe eliminate some of the things that aren't necessary or nice to have and not need to have. Now, on next year's budget, my understanding is that you guys are going to consider $50,000 for a feasibility study for a new firehouse. Do you think climate control, climate change is real? President Trump certainly does not think that. And if climate control change is not real, why will we need a new firehouse? That's all I had.
Thank you so much, Mr. Field. Mr. Carney.
Thank you, Mayor. John Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. Just had a question, mostly for you, Mayor. I saw last month that you hosted an event on homeowners insurance, and just curious as to why you had hosted that and what you were trying to achieve for the town with that event.
Oh, the hosting for the property insurance?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That was my event. And the reason that I did that was I felt that it was information that our residents wanted to hear. The cost of property insurance, where we're at, what legislation could be impacted, and also what we could anticipate for the future. It was a surprisingly packed crowd. It broke the record when Sheriff Chitwood came, which was significant. So it seemed as if it was something that the people wanted to hear.
Right, right. I agree. I saw that it was very well attended. And are people, you think they're mostly concerned about rates going up?
I'm sorry, you know, I don't know if it's the mic. I'm just not hearing well. Could you speak a little
more closely? I said,
right into it.
I noticed that it was very well attended. So did you think that was because people are concerned about their rates going up? Is that their primary concern?
I think the concern is that the rates could be going up. I don't know if they will be going up. It depends upon each insurance, you know, who you have and everything. But I thought that there was a need for a global knowledge of what was happening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The only reason I bring it up is that sometimes Steve and I get up here and talk, others, there's a few of us that come here and talk about budget, and sometimes I feel like we get the cold shoulder in terms of people think, there's only a few people in the community that are concerned about the budget. And if you go back and look at insurance rates, if you go, the only numbers I could find were 2021 to 2024, but the rates statewide had gone up about 29%, which is not good. But, I mean, there were some bad weather events in that time, and so there probably were reasons why that went up. But at the same time, the town budget went up 52%. And from my point of view on it, the reason the town budget went up is because our property values went up and the assessments went up, and it was easy to collect and spend the money. It wasn't that there was a catastrophe that we had to fund. And so I just wanted to try to create some awareness on this board that if you get these people that come out and they have concerns about their pocketbook, and I know two people that were former neighbors of mine that have left Ponce Inlet because of the combination of property tax and insurance costs, you know, that it is actually a bigger concern than just those of us who are willing to show up and speak to you. And so hopefully that event maybe will show you, hey, we need to pay attention to this. And it is something that the constituents citizens care about.
Absolutely, Mr. Carney. And, you know, we're all taxpayers, too, in the town. And we are aware that it's not just sometimes two people who come here. And we do receive phone calls and emails and conversations. And we hope that we'll see everybody, many people at our different public engagements coming up for the budget. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carter.
Can I add one piece to that, if you
yes,
don't mind?
Yes, please.
And John, you know, also to answer your question, there was a lot of questions that came up about the structure of their current insurance policy, even though, you know, with Matt being local, it helped a lot, and he was not just there to promote Brown & Brown, but he was answering questions of, you know, why is my current insurance company forcing me to replace my water heater that is 10 years old, or why do I have to replace my roof? It's 10 years old, and I have a 25-year warranty. They went through a lot of things like that, and he gave them some information or pointers, is probably the best way to put it, of how to approach their insurance companies to try to get a better rate and to make sure they weren't underinsured or overinsured. And the flood insurance, he walked us, you know, everyone through that. So, yeah, probably the biggest topic was the rates that everyone's having to pay, but also, too, ways that they can go in and go back to their insurance companies because, you know, anytime you go to your insurance company, you say, hey, you know, I want to reduce my rate. Well, it is what it is, but you have to start shopping. Our next-door neighbor did it a week ago. She called Jane and talked to her about that part. So, again, I just want to, yes, it was rates, but also structure.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman White. And then Mark Obeck.
Good afternoon, Council. Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive, and president of the Ponce Inlet Veterans Memorial Association. I wanted to give you an update on the progress regarding the expansion to the memorial. Construction is progressing. The footings are down, and the base for the wall is there, along with initial electrical lines and irrigation lines. We are looking at, hopefully in May, by mid-May, having the block up, and then we'll look at getting the granite providers out to take definitive measurements and then supply us with the black granite slabs that will be necessary. The walls are going to be surrounded by 8x8 pavers. They are different than the ones we currently have. Here's an example of the paver that will be used from the where the current memorial ends down to the new section of the memorial. These are 8x8. And given the measurements, we anticipate approximately 800 pavers, being able to be available for people that want to recognize someone in their family or friend that has served. Along with that, we're going to be providing or offering 6x9 stainless steel plaques. This is an example of the 6x9 stainless steel plaques that will go on the black granite walls. We anticipate that there'll probably be about 600 plaques available. I give you those numbers because our belief it will last far past the time I'm around, and probably far past the time most of us are around before that area is filled in remembrance of our veterans. The walls themselves will have a gable roof over the top that will help protect the walls and will be lit at night so that anyone coming day or night will be able to see the memorial in all its glory. We've also created a website, PonceInletVeterans.com, that we are in the midst of building, and it will include an e-commerce section where donors can contribute to the expansion and also purchase either the paver or the plaque. We hope to have that live mid-May when we will be actively starting our marketing campaign. We hope that, and our plan is that by Veterans Day, which is very appropriate, we will be able to dedicate the expansion and hopefully literally have, you know, the ribbon cutting ceremony for that expansion and have as many dignitaries as we can attend that, which reminds me that the upcoming Memorial Day ceremony, we're going to have a number of dignitaries attending. Jake Johansson will be speaking. Senator Wright, I believe, will be there. And a number of other council members, county council members, will be in attendance. And we are planning to hand out two Quilts of Valor, Quilts of Valor to a couple of our veterans who shall remain nameless until the ceremony. But that's also a special time. So that's it. Any questions?
I will add that I know that Representative Chase Tremont will be there as well, and Sheriff Chitwood. And I know that County Councilman Matt Reinhart will be in the audience. So we have County Councilman Jake Johansson will be our speaker, and Senator Wright and Representative Tremont will just, and Sheriff Chitwood will just say a few words.
Good.
So
we look forward to it.
Thank you.
It will be as special as ever.
Very, very, very much so. Mark, I know that you're also will start your 5 minutes again, speaking in your capacity for a Picky update, in your capacity at Picky.
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive, also president of the Ponsonlet Community Center Board of Trustees. A few updates here. First of all, landscape project. If you have driven down Peninsula the last few days, you will have seen things underway. We will have completed that by tomorrow. So all of the front and the rear of the building will have been re-landscaped to include sod, all new plantings, two gorgeous Sylvester palms that are in the front of the building. And once they unfold, we're going to keep them strapped up for 3 weeks to make sure that they really are rooted well. But once they unfold, they are just plain gorgeous. So it's going to be just phenomenal. People have asked, well, why are you doing all this, spending all this money? For one simple reason, to make the place more attractive. more attractive for the residents to use, more attractive for prospective renters to come in and say, wow, this place, you know, blows my doors off. I got to come here. It's going to have great curb appeal. And as a result, we think we'll increase our ability to utilize the center. We also have totally redone the irrigation system in the community center to ensure that all these new plants that are being put in will be sufficiently watered and survive even the worst of drought conditions. Kudos to Public Works. Without their assistance this week, we could not have gotten what we have gotten done because they helped get stumps out of the ground. And trust me, even though I like doing that manual labor, I'd still be there getting those stumps out if it weren't for them. So kudos to those folks because they always step up. They always step up. A bit more of an update. The backup generator, I know if Steve may speak to it, but it looks like they'll be getting work on the wiring within the next few days into next week, and the generator itself being delivered, at least it's tentatively scheduled to be delivered next week. So we're looking forward to that getting hooked up and available. Last month, I spoke about a budget request. One of those items was to look at signage. And our front marquee, the ability to possibly change that to being LED lit. And I asked the town to look at the sign ordinance and maybe start looking at the option of, under some very stringent controls, allow LED lighting to be available so that messages can be broadcast basically electronically instead of what obviously we do now manually, plus it provides so much more flexibility. Lastly, the Board of Trustees are seeking new members. We are three shy of the number of members that we would like to have on the board. So if you know anyone that's interested in volunteering, please have them reach out to me, and I would welcome them coming forward. Lastly, the farmers market, just a brief update on that. It's going well. Our attendance runs between 10 and 15. Summer operations is totally dependent on the vendors. We've told the vendors that, listen, this is your market. If you want to be here, we're going to provide the accommodation for you to be here. But it's your business, your life. We're here to support you and the town. We have created a tab on our website for the farmers market. Our website is picommunitycenter.com. And lastly, we did receive a complaint about the farmers market. We reviewed it. I believe we are in compliance with all the restrictions that we have associated with the approval that we've received. And we'll obviously make sure that we remain in compliance. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak during citizen participation? If not, citizen participation is closed. Thank you. And now item 6, proclamations, presentations, and awards. First, the mayor's proclamation report. The following proclamations will be presented during the months of April and May. A proclamation declaring the day of April 25th as Arbor Day. A proclamation declaring the month of May 2025 as Building Safety Month. A proclamation declaring the week of May 4 through May 10, 2025 as Municipal Clerks Week. A proclamation declaring the week of May 11th through the 17th, 2025 as Police Officers Week and declaring May 15th, 2025 as Peace Officers Memorial Day. A proclamation declaring the week of May 18th to May 24th, 2025 as Public Works Week and a proclamation declaring the week of May 18th to May 24th, 2025 as EMS Week. And copies of these proclamations may be viewed at the Town Hall kiosk. Next, 6B, we have a proclamation announcing the town's 2025 regular election, and I must read this proclamation in its entirety, and a copy will be available for viewing at the Town Hall kiosk. Proclamation of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida. Whereas, pursuant to Article 3 of the Town Charter, regular elections are held according to the Volusia County Uniform Municipal Election Schedule for the selection of members to serve 2-year staggered terms on the Town Council. Now, therefore, I, Lois A. Peritsky, Mayor of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, do hereby proclaim the following. Section 1. The town's regular election will be held on Tuesday, August 19th, 2025, for the following positions on the Town Council for 2-year terms. Mayor, seat number 1, presently held by me, Lois Peritsky. Council member, seat number 3, presently held by Henry Skip White. Council member, seat number 5, presently held by Gary L. Smith. Any person who has been a resident of the Town of Ponce Inlet for at least 12 months prior to filing and has been a registered voter of Volusia County for at least 12 months may become a candidate for nomination to the office of Town Council or Mayor whenever he or she files a petition signed by 15 qualified electors of the town with the town clerk requesting that said candidate's name be placed on the ballot in the ensuing election. Said candidate shall file with the town clerk all necessary forms as required by state law. Candidate qualification shall begin at 9 o'clock a.m. Monday, June 2, 2025, and continue until noon, Friday, June 13, 2025. The required petition and other necessary forms may be obtained by contacting Kim Cherbano, CMC Town Clerk, at 386-236-2150 or K. Cherbano, K-C-H-E-R-B-A-N-O, at ponce-inlet.org. All voting equipment to be used in this election will be tested on Friday, August 1st, 2025, at 9 o'clock a.m. at the Supervisor of Elections Office, 1750 South Woodland Boulevard, DeLand, Florida, 32720. The public is invited to attend. Section 2. Electors must be registered with the Supervisor of Elections, Volusia County, Florida, by Monday, July 21st, 2025, in order to vote in this election. Early voting will be held at the Supervisor of Elections Department, 1750 South Woodland Boulevard, DeLand, Florida, Monday, August 11th, 2025, through Friday, August 15th, 2025, from 8 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. Absentee ballots for this election may be ordered for mailing from the Department of Elections until August 7, 2025, but may be picked up through August 19, 2025. All absentee ballots must be received by the Department of Elections by 7 o'clock p.m. on August 19, 2025. Election Day in-person voting will be held on Tuesday, August 19, 2025, from 7 o'clock a.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. at the Community Center, 4670 South Peninsula Drive, Ponce Inlet, Florida. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, to be affixed this 17th day of April, 2025. Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, Mayor Lois Peritsky. Thank you, everyone. And next is our consent agenda. There is one item on our consent agenda, and that is the minutes. Does anyone wish to pull this item?
Nope.
Anyone from the audience wish to pull this item? Seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion unanimously passes. Item 8A, presentation of our town's financial statements and independent auditor's report for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2024, as prepared by A-Line Accounting Partners. Mike?
Yes, Kim McCall will introduce this item.
Thank you, Kim.
Good afternoon, Council. This year in January, the town's auditors, BMC CPAs, were acquired by another accounting firm, A-Line Accounting Partners Group. The town's new audit team includes April Adams. She's a CPA and a graduate from North Carolina State University and serves as an engagement partner for our audit. She is visiting us today from North Carolina, where she's been focused on auditing a wide variety of local and state governments since 2001. April joined A-Line Accounting Partners Group this spring, just in time to help complete the town's audit this year. April is passionate about making the audit experience enjoyable and understandable for all those involved. Victoria Barnett joined A-Line Accounting Partners Group this winter and helped complete the town's audit this year as the audit manager. Victoria is a CPA and a graduate of UCF. She is local to Florida and has been auditing and working in the government industry for over 10 years.
Welcome and thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Council. I am excited to be here to deliver the audit results. Can you hear me okay? All right. I'm going to have to look around a bunch. All right, so let's get started here. First slide, I'm going to throw a bunch of acronyms at you. Just, I want to give you a place where you can go back and look. I'm going to try not to use them during the presentation, but this is just a list where you can refer back that are used at least in this presentation itself. All right, so this first slide just talks about the actual financial statements themselves. I believe that you either have them in front of you or you've been emailed them, but I believe they came in your board packet itself. So that is what we're talking about today, is that report. It does break down into three major sections. That's your introductory section, your financial section, and then your compliance section. The financial section is the meat of that report. That's the most important information. What I typically advise the council to do, if you want to just get a quick overview of what's happening within these financial statements, what's changing year over year, what may be new or happened during 23, would be to look at the management discussion analysis and read that. That'll give you a good broad overview without getting too much into the details. The compliance section, this is comes about because we actually perform your audit under two different auditing standards. One is just the generally accepted auditing standards of the United States. So any kind of organization that would get an audit would be using those audit standards. And then because you are a government entity, we apply the government auditing standards as well. And so that allows us or causes us to have to issue two separate audit reports. And so you'll see that in the compliance section is the one related to the government auditing standards. Also, the state of Florida requires us to issue two other types of reports in conjunction with the audit. One is a management letter that just it's different items that the state of Florida is asking us to report on. And then the last document is actually an examination report. So that's a different type of audit. It's more specifically looking at something. And what we're looking at there is how does the town comply with the investment policy requirements and statutes of the state. So we looked specifically at that and reported on that. So as you can tell, things are different. I'm different. The logoing you see on your financial statements are different. Kim touched on the fact that we are a new firm. We did come about on January 1st of 2025. So we just were formed. That happened with the merger of two firms, and then later on also took on BNC. And so that's how I've come to be your auditor today. We do go by AAPG LLP. We do operate under this alternative accounting practice structure, which allows CPA firms and audit firms and tax firms and accounting firms to all work together. So it's a bunch of different organizations working together under one name, but the audit firm is AAPG LLP. So just keep that high level for you guys. But if you see a bunch of different names, that's why. Okay, so as I mentioned, we have finished the audit for the town for this year for September 30th, 2024. We dated that April 3rd, 2025, and that this slide is just kind of telling you what does that opinion cover. And there's two important things that we're noting in that report that makes it worth anything is that, one, that management maintains its responsibilities for the preparation of the financial statements. They take ownership. You know, our firm actually helped prepare those, but you need somebody inside the town itself to be able to accept that work and understand that it's correct, et cetera. And also just to have a good internal control structure. So that means you've got policies and procedures around the day-to-day activities that happen during the year. So that's, those two things are very important for management to own and make sure happen as a part of the audit. Then there's some auditor responsibilities, right? So we're responsible for expressing an opinion on those financial statements, and we're supposed to do it in accordance with audit standards. So there's rules for us to follow as we're conducting the audit. And then the last thing would be obviously to actually look and obtain evidence to support those following the rules. All right, so this slide is probably the most important one to me of this whole presentation, is telling you what kind of opinion you got on your audit. And so I am happy to tell you that you did receive a clean opinion. That's otherwise known as an unmodified opinion in technical terms. That is the highest level of assurance that you can get from an audit firm, that your financial statements are materially stated and free from material misstatement. Also included in your report is what we call RSI. That's required supplementary information. You will find this information, one, it's the MD&A itself, the management discussion and analysis that I told you to read. And then it's some data that you will see after the footnotes, and it's 10-year data of your pension and OPEB plan, so your health insurance for your retirees. That data, along with the management discussion analysis, is not included in our opinion. So just to clarify that. And then the GAS reporting, we talked about the governmental audit standards opinion. That's also included in your report. That is also a clean opinion, same kind of assurance that your financial statements are free from material misstatement, but that also covers that you're operating in compliance with state laws that we're required to look at as a part of the audit. All right, before I move on to the next section of the presentation that's more talking about the numbers, I did just want to give just a shout out that you guys do have a great finance department. You know, I've done a lot of different audits for different government organizations, but it was quite nice to come into this audit and have a team that provides good, solid evidence. They're responsive to us when we ask questions and ask for additional information. It is kind of relentless in the audit process of trading information, asking more questions, and that kind of stuff. So just wanted to say thank you to Kim, the Kims, and anyone else that helped provide any information. All right, so as I mentioned, the next couple of slides are just pulling information out of these financial statements at a very high level to just kind of give you a glimpse of what's in there and what to take away from it. First thing would just be looking at the balance sheet growth. So we're looking year over year, high categories of what's on those balance sheet accounts. And so what jumps out at me for this is that there's three major changes between last year and this year's numbers. First would be cash. It increased 18% from the prior year. So that's moving in the right direction, right? It's always good to have more cash. Also, your current liabilities, they decreased 19%. So that's good to know that you have less obligations to pay in the near future. That's made up really of accounts payable and any unearned revenue that might have existed last year. And then lastly, your unrestricted net assets. This is your equity. And this is equity that's not stated for restriction or use for something else or hung up in capital assets, per se. That's increasing 189% from the prior year. And that really is just a direct result of you received more revenues than expenses in the current year. So that's just your net income, per se. This slide, I need to change the label of it from GASB 68 to 75. That is an accounting standard number. But these are showing you, we're pulling out the balances that are specifically related to your pension and your OPEB plan, which is your health insurance for your retirees. These are the numbers. It shows up in multiple places, so it's good just to kind of pull it out and take a look at what are the obligations in total for those. And so that's what I've done here and showed you year for the last 3 years. But really what to take away is the current year impact of those changes and those obligations was really only $83,000. So that's good because they can wildly swing from year to year based on interest rates and things like that that the actuaries help us pull together. All right. So this slide is looking at just the governmental fund. So it's taking out the business type things that you have as far as water and sewer and garbage pickup. And so this is just kind of looking at the governmental activities and how they break out amongst the different types of revenue you may have. This really didn't change year over year. Your property taxes is still your biggest source of revenue, so nothing really more to say on that. This slide is just showing you the five-year trend of the total of revenues. You'll see that it did increase from the prior year, so now you're at $10.7 million strictly just for governmental activities, and that basically is a result of the increase in property tax revenue for the year. We'll look at the same thing for the expense side. This is, again, just breaking out the different buckets. No big surprise here. They really didn't change year over year in classifications, and the biggest bulk of your money is spent in public safety. And then the five-year trend for your expenses. You will see that they did decrease in 2024 from 2023. This is just primarily just from hurricane expenses. You didn't have them in 2024 as large amount as you did in 2023 for Hurricane Ian. All right. So I mentioned earlier about equity. And this is your unreserved fund equity. It's important to look at this number because as a disaster may occur, you want to know how much, if revenues quit coming in for some reason, how much can you operate and continue to operate without any additional money coming in for any kind of circumstance that you might find yourselves in. And so you've held at this 200 number, but 219 was the number for 2024 that you could continue to operate without any additional revenues coming in. All right, this is just looking at your enterprise funds. These are what we call your business type activities. So this is where your water and your sewer and your garbage collection is housed in your financial statements. It's always good to look and make sure that your operating revenues are more than your operating expenses. You want to make sure that you're collecting and charging rates that allow you not to dig yourself in a hole. Sometimes you do end up collecting more than what it costs. Sometimes that's just operational. Sometimes that's planned because you've got capital projects and things like that that you need to plan for and account for as you go along. All right, we'll talk a little bit about millage rates. So this slide is showing you of all the millage rates that get paid in 1 year for our property tax, how much is Ponce Inlets, which is the light bill on the bottom, and how much is everything else that you might get charged and the rate. And so 6.559 was the rate for 2024. That was up 1.78 from the year before. And then this is the rate, if you look at the millage rate for Ponds Inlet compared to all the other localities that are around here, you'll see that you guys are right in the middle amongst the group. And then lastly, this is just looking at your just value versus your taxable value. You can see that the 24 is the first light blue number you see. They're both increasing over the prior year, which is the orange year over year, as expected. And now I'll be glad to take any questions.
Now, I know that First of all, thank you so much for the report. Thank you for the PowerPoint and all of the documents that you've given to us along the way. And I want to thank, of course, our finance department. I know how hard they've worked with you and your company. The council has had the documents for quite some time, and I do believe many questions have already been answered. But right now we have another opportunity if you'd like any additional questions answered. Does anyone have any questions? No?
No.
Gary, no. Does anyone in the audience have any questions? Mr. Fields.
Thank you. Steve Fields, 6 Mars Hole. So the lines that you presented where you had no opinion, did you actually look at anything? Or there was a couple lines where you said you had no opinion about.
Page 6.
Thank you, Steve.
So what I was trying to explain was that there are certain things, and mine doesn't look like yours because I printed this at home, but of this document, there are certain things that our opinion covers and certain things that they do not. And so that's what I was trying to articulate there. But the vast majority that's in here is opined on. And most importantly, the financial statements themselves are opined on, as well as the footnotes. So it's just certain things.
Is that normal for all government?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It sure is.
And then you said the increase in cash from last year to this year is $1.6 million, correct? And you said that was a good thing.
For the governmental activities, yes.
It was a good thing because they collected more cash than they
needed.
I'm
sorry, Mr. Phil, I can't hear you. Could you speak into the mic? Thank you.
It's a good thing that they collected more cash than they needed to spend? I would say that's a bad thing.
I would say in some circumstances, governments are intentionally doing that in order to plan for future projects.
Like I said, I think that's a bad thing. And the last thing was, it looked like the pension fund balance was lower at the end of last year than the prior year. I was surprised about that. Weren't you guys?
So if you dig into the details of the footnote, you'll find that sometimes the pension plan is valued for the year previous to this year. If you can imagine the size of it, they can't get that report out, and all these other governments get the report done all at the same time. So it's usually about a year out that they are valuing that pension plan, and we're reporting on it a year later. And that's why you see some of those deferred inflows and outflows, because you're able to capture some of the current year activity. So it's really based on interest rates and that kind of stuff for the years prior. So it doesn't really match up with what you saw last year.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. So we do need a motion to accept or not accept the report. Do we have one?
Yes, I'll make the motion. I make a motion to accept the town's financial statements and independent auditor's report for fiscal year ending September 30th, 2024. As prepared by A-Line Accounting Partners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. A roll call, please.
Councilmember White.
Yes.
Councilmember Milano.
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky.
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
I want to thank everyone again. I want to thank the work with the audit and our finance department. Thank you for such professional work. We are so appreciative. Thank you.
Mayor, if I could add something to that as well.
Please.
Just so the audience knows, we say this every year, but this isn't something that we just do for fun or because we should. We do it for those reasons, but it's also mandated by state law for local governments. It follows very strict timeline, just like the preparation of our budget does. It goes with a certain calendar. If it's not done by then, just like if you fail to prepare a budget, there are strict penalties that go into effect. I mean, all this is done to ultimately trace every purchase back to the authority to make that purchase. And so that includes every single transaction that the town has made over the audit period. So it's a tremendous amount of work that goes into that. And it's been great working with our new audit team. They've been a pleasure to work with. They have been very, very, very thorough, more than we've ever had before. So we enjoy the process, and we enjoy coming out with this result because that shows that we've done what we were supposed to have done.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. So we are now going to move on to 8B, and I'm not sure, is Mr. or Mrs. Revord here? Anyone on their behalf here? They are applicants requesting a credit, a utility bill credit. I am now going to ask our attorney my options. They are not here. We could do what?
You could defer them to the end when you say they're not here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then
I will defer them to the end.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable to the council?
To the end of the meeting?
Yes. End of the meeting.
Fine.
Sure.
We'll bring it back up. Thank you, Cliff. Okay. And now we are at 9A, our public hearings. This is a quasi-judicial matter. Cliff, would you be kind enough to first remind all of us of our responsibilities in a general manner on a quasi-judicial hearing?
Yes, Mayor. In a quasi-judicial matter, what we're doing is applying the existing code to whatever the facts are. So this is not where we have discretion except in our judging of whatever the evidence is that's presented in front of us on the matter. So when this is a special exception case, I'm sure you'll hear from staff as to what the requirements are and the staff's opinion as to whether the criterion are met or not met. That constitutes competent substantial evidence, which you can accept or reject. However, if you reject it, there should be, because there's alternative competent substantial evidence on the other side that makes the case, not because you've seen something, observed something, or know something in your own personal life, because even though that may be important to you, it's only the evidence that comes here that matters. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you need to make a disclosure if you've talked to any of the parties involved here about the matters, the whoever's applying and so forth. You need to disclose those conversations, the general subject matter, what you talked about, and so that if anybody wants to make further inquiries about that, those discussions, they get the opportunity to do that for due process purposes.
Thank you very much. So what we have here in 9A is a major special exception case number SPEC2-2025 to allow the hosting of a weekly farmers market in a public institutional zoning district per section 2.40 at the Ponsonla Community Center, 4670 South Peninsula Drive, per section 6.6.3 of the LUDC. I will begin with an ex parte disclosure. I go to the farmers market almost every Sunday, and I do speak with the vendors. I speak with Mark Obeck, who is the applicant here, and what we speak about is he introduces me to the new vendors, so as the mayor, I have the opportunity to welcome them into the town. Nothing that I saw or conversations I've had any, will have any impact on my impartiality regarding this proceeding. Does anyone else have any disclosures they wish to make?
Yeah. Skip White, I actually have had spent some time at the farmers market, not every Sunday, but quite a bit. I've had zero conversation with any vendor or Mr. Obeck or the picky board that would relate to anything that we're going to make decisions on today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
No, I have none.
Okay, so we will begin. Mike?
Yes, Darren Lear will be presenting this item.
Thank you. Mr. Lear?
Good afternoon, Council. This item before you, as mentioned, is a major special exception request to allow the ongoing operation of a farmer's market at the Ponce Inlet Community Center. If approved, the Community Center Board of Trustees intend to operate the farmer's market every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Under their special activity permit, there have been several farmer markets at the Community Center, and we've not had any issues. The subject property is approximately 8 acres in size, has a future land use of public institutional, and is zoned P/I public institutional. There were 14 criteria in your agenda packet that were viewed, and all have been met with this application. In the essence of time, I'll just highlight a few of those. Hours of operation are limited to 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Application states the market will operate between the hours of 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The sales area for the farmers market shall not occupy required parking spaces or fire lanes for any principal use on any property. The vendors will be located on the north side of the property within an area away from their required parking spaces for the farmers market operation, church use, or fire lanes. The church currently utilizes 4 to 6 parking spaces. Minimizes adverse physical impacts. The proposed farmers market business will operate like any other retail business in the area, with very minimal impact to public services, and is not expected to have adverse physical impacts on the town. If approved, as recommended, there would be 9 conditions placed on the exception. Some of those include the farmers market is limited to operate weekly on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Any proposed expansion of the farmers market at the community center or relocation of the farmers market to another location in town shall be reviewed as a new special exception application, and the farmers market and associated vendors shall comply with all standards of the LUDC and Code of Ordinances, along with all other applicable local, state, and federal regulations. In February, your planning board voted 5-0 to recommend approval, and staff also recommends approval of the major special exception subject to the conditions as proposed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lear. Does anyone have any questions with respect to the conditions, with respect to the criteria, anything that's contained within the staff report?
Does that at all interfere with the church that's already there, or are they going to continue to operate, or are they leaving?
They're going to continue to operate, but they've had no issues with the parking.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Lear. If you don't have anything further to add, we do have, I believe, the applicant is here, if he wishes to speak. Oh, no, he does not wish to speak. Okay. Any member of the public wish to state anything? Mr. Carney.
Oh, yeah, Mayor. John Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. Just in general terms, if the code of the town is vague, then it leaves room for the town to interpret, or you all, or the code enforcement, whoever, to interpret what that means. So, for example, if the town code says you can paint your front door blue, and my front door is royal blue, and yours is sky blue, then we're all good, right, within that rule. However, if the town code says that the front door has to be powder blue, then we're both in trouble, right? And so, in the case of what's being reviewed here in front of you, there's a bit of a conflict, because what's being presented as a farmer's market doesn't meet what the Land Use Development Code calls a farmer's market. And one of the conditions of the farmer's market that Mr. Lear laid out is that the farmer's market has to follow the Land Use Development Code. And so somebody's got to fix one thing or the other, either the content of the market or the content of the code, because right now the code says that a farmer's market is a temporary or occasional outdoor retail sale of produce or seafood, and that's fine, and they probably do some of that, but they do other things as well, and so the other things either need to stop, or else somebody needs to modify that code to say a farmer's market includes a bigger group of activities.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. Anybody else? Yes, Mr. Obeck. The applicant.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually agree with John, just so that we're clear, and that, you know, if anyone in the future raises up, you know, this issue regarding the farmer's market, I think that it's good that we look at the LUDC and define what a farmer's market is much better than just vegetables and seafood. It just will make life a bit easier. And I just wanted to make a note that this Sunday we are closed so that families can celebrate Easter. everyone, especially me, will welcome that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lear, do you have anything further you wish to add, or nothing? And nothing further by the council, because I'm prepared to make a motion.
Mayor, I do have one more question since that came up.
Oh, you have a question?
Yes,
for who?
Yes, please. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mark or John, but are we not utilizing the same vendors and the same pretty much setup as what was at the other farmers market?
I can't really comment on the vendors. I don't know that personally, but what I do know is that, and you were on the planning board when we reviewed that,
correct,
the old market, there were very strict rules, and we were, at the same time we were reviewing that, we were creating the code for farmers markets. And if you look at a Venn diagram of a farmer's market and of the rules for the food vendors, for example, like the food trucks,
correct,
there's no overlap in those, mm-hmm, right? And at some point, the old farmer's market